Wednesday, 5 p.m. Time for American Hit Radio on WHPC 90.3. Glad to be here. I'm your host, Tom Ryan, my lovely wife, co-host, engineer, and very exhausted human being, Heidi Morales Ryan, with
all
me as well.
All of the above.
Yeah, we both are very exhausted. It's been a very, very busy first half of a week. So let's blow off some steam and play some music. Have a little bit of fun with it for the next hour. I think that would be a great idea. Now, Heidi, if you remember, doesn't have to go too far back, the past couple of weeks on Wednesdays, we've been playing the Jimi Hendrix Experience album, Electric Ladyland.
Yes.
We played parts one and part two to play the entire double album. And it's really interesting, now that we're doing these shows in chronological order, as I had stated, you know, from the beginning, what I wanted to do, that the next album is kind of related to that. Jimi Hendrix, that album was number 61 in our list of the top 500 of the top 40. This album, today's album, therefore, is number 62 in that exact same list, since it charted on the Billboard charts at number 17, debuting in November of 1968. The album is simply called Traffic. The band that made it is also simply called Traffic. It is their second album. The first album was Dear Mr. Fantasy or Mr. Fantasy. So for some reason, the second album became the eponymous album. But I mention the connection to the Jimi Hendrix thing because both Dave Mason, Rick Rech, all three, Dave Mason, Rick Rech, and Steve Winwood appeared on the Jimi Hendrix album. They happened to be in New York doing sessions of their own or maybe partly touring, but they ended up in the studio when Jimi Hendrix was recording that album. They ended up on some of the longer songs, on some of the jams. So how about that?
Okay. Yes, it is true.
Well, we knew that Hendrix was having trouble with his own bass player.
Yes.
And Rick Rech was more than willing to play when he was there. Stevie Winwood was brought in to play organ on Voodoo Child, which was like a 15-minute jam. And
so there was some crossover.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, while that's going on, they're also, the four of them are recording their own album, which is this one. So they came out at almost, all this stuff was happening pretty much simultaneously. Now, as I said, this album, Traffic, was the band's second album, and it shared a common feel with their debut, but it also represents the band's last album, with their initial lineup, as it was released after their initial breakup, subsequent reformation and breakup, and another reformation and breakup. I mean, the band's history is complicated, and it's best understood in stages. And this album could be considered the end of stage one when Dave Mason was still an active member in the band. But actually, that is also an overstatement. Mason left the band before this album was recorded. He left after the debut album.
Ouch.
But then he rejoined again to aid in the completion of this album. However, the album, Traffic, the one we're playing today, shows really distinct signs of the separation. Mason's songs are stylistically apart from everybody else's on the record. What the rest of the band does and what Mason does, it's almost like two different groups. And he hardly makes any contribution to the songs that aren't his. So in a sense, Traffic, the album, is an album of two halves rather than a cohesive whole. For the most part, Mason wrote pop songs, while the rest of the band indulged in their jazz tendencies and folk leanings. So, especially, you know, Winwood. So half of the fun in listening to this album is deciding which camp you find yourself in. Are you a Winwood Capaldi guy, or are you a Dave Mason kind of guy? It basically, as you play through the album, you can decide. So let's get into it right away. Dave Mason really only came back to do this album, quit again when it was complete, which forced the band to put out an album called Last Exit, which was, I guess, the true end of the Mason era, because there were leftover songs that went onto one side and live recordings that went onto the other side. It was a very spotty album, so it is not included on our list of the top 500 of the top 40. The debut album was Mr. Fantasy. We covered it earlier. If you're interested in hearing that show, you can search our website, because it's there. Go to AmericanHitNetwork.com. And I forget now, unfortunately. I think it was under the alternate top 40, because I don't think it went top 40 in the United States. So I think that's where you will find it, if you want to cover that and then hear this. But let's get down to it, with this being the second album. And there's some good stuff on this record. First song up is one of Dave Mason's contributions. As I said, think of Mason's songs as the pop songs on the album. This is the direction that the band didn't want to go in. The band preferred to do stuff that was maybe, like I said, a bit more challenging. Mason liked stuff that was a bit more straightforward. But here is his opening track, called You Can All Join In.
Here's a little song you can all join in with. It's very simple and I hope it's new. Make your own words up if you want to. Any old words that you think will do.
Dave Mason fans that are listening, I'm curious to know if they feel the same as I do about that track in particular, or even about, you know, a lot of early Dave Mason, because I think most of the people who became fans of Dave Mason, it happened during his solo career as the 70s developed. He put out that album Certified Live that was very popular in the mid-70s, and a number of solo albums that did quite well. But that style, the mid-70s Dave Mason, sounds really drastically different than this Dave Mason, to my ears anyway. His voice is different. He doesn't sound like the same person. That song, You Can All Join In, is like almost mind-numbingly simple.
Yes.
In terms of the way it's written.
It's a country tune.
Yeah. You know, really simple, bouncy. The chords are simple. There's not really a lot to it. And, you know, he basically is constantly wanting to leave Traffic. I guess he's thinking that he's providing the hits. But it's interesting because some of the, as we go through this, you'll see a lot of his songs are popular. But it always seems to my mind, it's the Capaldi-Winwood combination songwriting team that seems to bring the most weight to the album and makes me want to come back to it more than the Dave Mason songs. Now, so this is where I begin to take my side, you know? I'm like, oh yeah, I'm in the Winwood camp at this point in time. But it's interesting that when Dave Mason got out, his voice began to change, his songwriting began to improve, his guitar playing became significantly more interesting. So a lot of things went right for Dave Mason after he left Traffic that were not self-evident at this point in time. So that's my two cents. Well, here's an example. Like what this album did, I guess it was meant to be an attempt at cohesion. They alternate songs most of the way through the album. It's a Mason song, then it's a Capaldi-Winwood song, then a Mason song, then a Capaldi-Winwood Chris Wood song, then a Mason song, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So that gives you this sense by going back and forth that there might be cohesion. But the fact of the matter is that, like, when Mason's name isn't in the songwriting, his input is really minimal. For example, the only thing he does on this next track is play harmonica.
Hmm.
Other than that, his input is non-existent. So it really belongs to the other three members, Chris Wood, Jim Capaldi, and Steve Winwood. Check it out. Tell me what you think, as Winwood on this track handles lead vocal, Hammond organ, electric guitar, and bass guitar. Winwood pretty much owns it. The name of the song is Pearly Queen.
I bought a sequin suit from a pearly queen. She could drink more wine than I'd ever seen. She had some gypsy's blood flowing through her feet. When the time was right, she said that I would meet my destiny. I traveled around the world to find the sun. I couldn't stop myself from having. Distance. travel around the world to find the sun. I couldn't stop myself from having fun. And one day met her, an Indian girl, and she made me forget this troubled world we're living in.
Right, so there you hear the contrast. And the thing about it is that, to me, they sound compatible. That's why the album, although it is two distinct things happening, they were right to mix it up. Because if they put all the Mason songs on one side, it would have sounded like two people
who made two half albums.
Right, right.
But as it is, it doesn't sound congruous to me.
No, I think you're right. Stylistically, they kind of blend. I guess maybe because they are, you know, English hippies. And they're both, you know, pretty much espousing the style of English hippies. So it's working for them. But like I said, that would change after Mason leaves. Winwood would hang on to that for a little bit longer. And although not for much, because he leaves the band right after this album as well, when things fall apart. He doesn't even tell the other guys that he's leaving. He just, you know, one day just
doesn't come back.
Is no longer bothering.
I'm going for a pack of cigarettes.
Pretty much. You know, they pretty much heard in the press back that he was going to start a new band, and that's when he formed his next band with, of course, I'm drawing a blank here, of course, Eric Clapton.
Yeah.
Blind Faith. Wow, that was a reach. I knew it was right on the tip of my tongue. So that's pretty much where this will end up going when we get into 1969. I guess that album is in our future, coming up in the not-too-distant future on this program. But let's continue. As I said, they've you'll notice what's interesting also is that when you hit a Mason song, the entire band is on it. Everybody contributes. All four of them playing, you know, a full bunch of instruments. Like on this next track, Mason handles, you know, the lead vocals and guitar. Winwood handles Hammond organ and rhythm guitar and bass. Wood does what he does. He plays saxophone, and Capaldi plays drums and backing vocals. So the band was very supportive of Mason, but not necessarily vice versa, at least the way it looks when you read the credits. But this is a Dave Mason song. It's called Don't Be Sad.
Oh,
is a Dave Mason song that absolutely sounds like a traffic track, because mostly because of the fact that Steve Winwood contributes some of the lead vocals on that one. It's called Don't Be Sad. We're counting our way through the entire album called Traffic. It's the band's second album. Number 17 on the Billboard charts after debuting in November 1968. And working our way through track by track, the next song, the normal songwriting teams, as they were, well, Mason wrote by himself almost always. Not always, but mostly. Capaldi and Winwood were the other team of Steve Winwood writing with the drummer Jim Capaldi. And this next track, it was originally released credited that way, but only later, actually, after BMI got a hold of it, was it realized that Chris Wood was also responsible for some of the songwriting, and he eventually got credit, although he gets no credit for appearing on the track. Apparently, this entire track is a Winwood-Capaldi performance with the two of them playing virtually everything on the song. So let's see what that one sounds like then. This is called Who Knows What Tomorrow May Bring.
We are not like all the rest. You can see us any day of the week. Come around, sit down, take a step, fall asleep. Maybe you don't have to speak. I'd like to show you.
The most standout thing on the Winwood songs is his use of melody. He's got, like you said, Heidi, he sounds like a, did you say the mature? I forgot how you put it.
Yes.
Yeah, he does have he's musically mature in terms of like how he uses melody, how he finds, you know, things that are interesting and unique. But there's a reason for that. I mean, he was a professional musician from the age of 15. He was the lead singer. Yeah, he was the lead singer for the Spencer Davis Group He was 16 when he sang Give Me Some Lovin' for the Spencer Davis Group. He was only 16. And so, you know, at this point in time, it's like, what, 4 years later? 3 years later? Because he was singing that song in, what, 65, 66? Yeah, so this is about 3 or 4 years later. He's not, you know, he's still pretty young, very young. He's probably 20 years old. But he's got a lot of experience under him. Now, Dave Mason, meanwhile, of course, if you're going to think about what happened with him during his solo career, this next song pretty much sums it up. A lot of these earlier songs were not the songs that defined his career, because a lot of the stuff that he wrote as a solo musician did that. But this next song is probably, if you're going to remember one Dave Mason song ever, it would certainly be this one. And maybe not because Dave Mason wrote it or performed it, but because somebody else did. This was a huge hit for Three Dog Night, and an even bigger hit, as everybody knows it, obviously, for Joe Cocker. But here is the original version of the one chord wonder. The song's got one chord in it. It's called Feeling All Right.
Seems I've got to have a change of scene, 'cause every night I have the strangest dream. Prison by the way it could be, left here on my own, or so it seems. I've got to leave before I start to scream. Someone's locked the door and took the key. You're feeling alright. I'm not feeling too good myself. Well, you're feeling alright. I'm not feeling too good myself. Well, boy, you sure took me for one big ride, and even now I sit and wonder why. Then when I think of you, I start to cry. Just can't waste my time, I must keep dry. Gotta stop believing in all your lies, 'cause there's too much to do before I die. You're feeling alright. I'm not feeling too good myself. Well, you're feeling alright. I'm not feeling too good myself. Felt that way, but that was then and now it's today. Can't get up yet and so I'm here to stay, till someone comes along and takes my place, with a different name, yes, a different face. You're feeling alright. I'm not feeling too good myself. Well, you're feeling alright. I'm not feeling too good myself. I'm not feeling too good myself.
Oops. Nobody called me up to call me out on that, but the way that Traffic does the song, it's two chords going back and forth for the entire length of the song. I didn't realize that. In the hands of Joe Cocker, they've just eliminated the second chord, if I remember, because you know, you play the Joe Cocker version, it's just one chord. So that song, that version of the song pretty much just served as a template. And I think probably some of the most money Dave Mason ever made is off of the royalties of the sales of when of other people recording his song. Well, we've got all of Side 2 to cover and not a whole lot of time to do it. So let's play two tracks back to back. We'll start with one of my favorite songs on the album, actually. And it's interesting because it's an interesting songwriting partnership. It's Jim Capaldi and Dave Mason together on this first track that we'll play. It's called Vagabond Virgin. We'll segue that into the next song as well, which is a Capaldi Winwood song called 40,000 Headmen.
Tell me how you want me to be. Then look again and you will see that I'm still the same. Shape. Your twisted mind has no escape. But don't be ashamed, love. It's just a game, love. You can learn how to play. Somebody said, let me take you to bed. And with money and lies, they filled up your head. You were barely 13, a child from the villages, so fresh on the
Thank you. change my mind. If I had to take the choice between the deaf man and the blind, I know just where my feet should go, but that's enough for me. I turned around and knocked them down and walked across the sea. Hadn't traveled very far when suddenly I saw three small ships a-sailing off towards a distant shore. So lighting up a cigarette, I followed in pursuit and found a secret cave where they obviously stashed the loot. Filling up my pockets, even stopped it on my nose. Laying down my treasure before the iron gate, quickly rang the bell, hoping I hadn't come too late. But someone came along and told me not to waste my time. And when I asked him who he was, he said, just look behind.
Getting myself confused on this album. I know this album. I've played it often, but I'm getting
sure
the titles
do.
Confused. Vagabond Virgin wasn't one of my favorite songs. The one we just heard, 40,000 Headmen, was. So I'm getting turned around a little bit. But the first song, Vagabond Virgin, as I said, was a Capaldi Mason composition. 40,000 Headmen was a Capaldi Winwood composition. And there you can really hear, again, like the way that Steve Winwood's, in my opinion, his style of use of melody and song structure is a little bit is more developed than Dave Mason's at this point in time. He's got a more interesting style about it. And that actually continues as we work our way through the album. Let's play the next track. Is a Dave Mason song, again, with the entire band supporting him. This is called Crying to Be Heard.
Back against the wind, listening to nothing save the calling of a bird. When the rain begins to fall, don't you start to curse. It may be just the tears of someone that you never heard.
Someone is crying to be heard.
To be heard. You could probably guess the year that that came out just by hearing it. That's one of those songs that has 1968 stamped all over it, you know?
All over it.
It's from an era where that, you know, like you were saying, Heidi, it's got that loose solo break, used to the jammy thing, but
yes.
You know, that was almost requisite for the...
You know, I'm an anti-jam zone.
You know, the psychedelic hippie thing, you needed it. It was just,
yes.
It was de rigueur, if that's how you say it, you know? Like semi-required... And so there it was on that track. Now, I'm just barely getting settled in here. I feel like, okay, you know, we broke ourselves in. Now let's get into the meat of the album. And we've only got 9 minutes left to the show and two tracks left to play. So time for me to bow out, folks. I hope you enjoyed the album. We will be back next week with a Beatles album that we have to cover.
What's not to like?
So we'll get to that for next Wednesday. Meanwhile, we will leave you with a Capaldi Winwood track called No Time to Live, followed by yet another Capaldi Winwood track called Means to an End. Basically, traffic sounding exactly like traffic with Stevie Winwood at the helm. So take care, everybody. Great to do the show. I hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you next week. Or, of course, you can always tune in on Friday. See you then. Bye-bye. Thank you.
as time begins to burn itself upon me. And the days are growing very short. People try their hardest to reject me, but in a way, their conscience won't be cold. Thank you.